Great. We do these professional learning community calls every 2 weeks. Our next one will be on October 23rd. And we usually work on different themes. We'll work on what we call the 8 critical issues that we find that successful job training programs usually run into. And they're things like recruitment, placement, of course, curriculum, student services, testing the labor market assessment, community assessment. So we do these themes. And right now, and we thought it would be appropriate, and we'll talk about this in a second, we're waiting for EPA to make their final decisions on who might get funded for this next round. But we're focusing on leveraging right now and on sustainability. And we're talking about different models that people use. There are many different types of job training programs that EPA has, and all of them are good. One isn't better than the other. They're all excellent. They're just different. We've got some that are very large nonprofits, and they attach environmental job training onto that. We've got many that have multiple services. They might be a social service organization. They might be a drug rehabilitation organization, and they're operating with grants, and they found that they could add environmental workforce training onto this list to broaden their services they provide the community. We've got some that are associated with governmental agencies. It might be a city of Tacoma. It might be a city of St. Louis. And they found that it's beneficial for them to add an environmental job training program into the list of services that they provide their community. So those are three. But then the fourth one, which we're going to be talking today, is more the entrepreneurial types of job training programs, which I think ECA is certainly fits under that. Limitless Vistas is another one. For those of you who've been on calls where we've talked about either ECA or Limitless Vistas, if Coalfields was another one in Virginia where they were combining different services for the community, providing employment, doing community services, and also had the job training program, and they were able to do this 1-2 mix and match and help support each other so that both programs were stronger. We're going to talk in a second, and we're going to catch up on what's happening in Washington, but today we're going to be talking about a program that could fit into many of these categories. They provide an incredible community service. They've got an incredible story to tell. They're providing services not only to employment in terms of what EPA is looking for, providing jobs to people who otherwise couldn't get them, but they're providing an incredible service to the community. And they've got quite a story to tell, and this is Recycle Force. But before we go too far, we want to catch you up on what's happening in Washington and what's happening in terms of the all-grantee meeting. So I'm going to turn
hey,
that
Mike.
Over to Heather. Yes, sir.
Hey, before you get started on that, Rhonda's emailing me, having trouble connecting with
okay.
the 319-527 number, and it's telling her that she's got to pay. And is there another number, 800 number that I can give her right quick? Otherwise, when you get through it, we could go ahead and present if she can't get it.
Yeah, it's 319-527-3513 would be the only number. It might be a problem.
Yeah, I gave her that. Let me see if she can get on with that. If she can't, then we're going to go ahead and present anyway.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. So one of the things we want to talk about is what's happening in Washington. And for those of you who are new and may have gotten a notice about this professional learning community, we want to get you signed up for this PLC, and Heather will tell you how to send your contact information to her so you can take advantage of going to the all-grantee meeting. So, Heather, I'm going to turn this over to you.
All right, fantastic. So I know Mike's mentioned a couple times on getting a hold of me. I'll make sure at the very end of this I'll tell you guys my email address, and you've seen it probably pop up a couple other places too. So you can get a hold of me, and we can get you guys signed up for some of the different like PLC listservs or different things like that as well. So the biggest thing that's been coming out from HQ has been the National Conference. We're very excited about this. This is the National Brownfields Conference that's being held December 11th through the 13th in Los Angeles, California. This is a really great opportunity for you guys to be able to really network with not only with other individuals in our all grantee meeting that's going to occur the day before, but also just individuals that are working in brownfields throughout the nation. And so this could be potential employers, it could be potential partner organizations, different things like that. So it's a really, really unique opportunity and well worth your while to go out there and engage in some of those different communities. So the one thing I did want to talk to you guys about today is the All Grantee meeting. So as we've been talking about, those of you that have been around and listening to some of these last PLC calls, we've been talking about the fact that our All Grantee meeting this year is going to be something kind of different. It's sort of a bonus one for us. So we're trying something a little novel. And what we're going to do is hold the All Grantee meeting on December 10th. And it'll be held partially at the convention center where the National Brownfields Conference will take place. So this is being an affiliate meeting with the National Brownfields Conference. Now, in order to attend, you do have to register for the National Brownfields Conference. That is number one step. That's very important. And then, like I said, you could spend the 10th with us. We've got a really good thing that's starting to be planned out, maybe going out to see some partner groups at NIEHS and having some joint communications. So we're having a lot of really interesting, I think, day that's going to be set up for that December 10th. And we will be sending out a couple of scans going forward to get your input on topics to make sure it's stuff that's of interest and relevant to you. But the biggest thing we have right now is that we have a bit of a rush to get everybody signed up for their hotel. So what we've done in the past with all grantee meetings is HMTRI has been able to cover the cost of the hotel. And so we were also able to do that with this conference as well. So we're going to be able to cover the lodging costs for the 2 days that are associated with the National Brownfields Conference. So we will be able to cover the lodging costs for December 9th and December 10th. And it's kind of very specific on that. So I sent out a big email yesterday to a large number of folks, kind of giving an invite, talking to you what you all need to do, but I know we've had some questions come up since then on how things work. So I'm actually putting together a very detailed step-by-step process on how to register for the hotels. That should answer all of your questions. I actually had a question that I bounced to the hotel folks. So as soon as I hear confirmation back from them, I'll send this out. Or if I don't hear back from them in the next couple hours, I may send it out and then send out additional information later on. But we want to make sure we get that info to you. So the quick verbal version of what it is if you go to brownfields2020.org/housing, right, this is the housing page for the National Brownfields Conference, you'll see a giant red button that says make your hotel reservation. You click on that giant red button, and there's a little box that pops up in the center of the new screen that comes up, and it says, please select your guest type. There's a little drop-down menu. It has three different options on it. What you are going to want to select is I have an access code. You click on the I have an access code option on that drop-down menu, and it'll give you a little box, and there you can type in HMTRI. All right, so HMTRI, you type in that code and you hit make a reservation. At that point, it's going to take you to a page. And normally this is be where they would have all the different hotels listed, but there is only going to be one hotel listed, and that would be the Sheraton Grand. That's the hotel that we have a chunk of rooms reserved for all the folks that are coming to the All Grantee meeting. And so from there, you can go through the process and make your reservation from there. So just to kind of get you guys going verbally on some of those directions, I wanted to make sure to share that. Again, I'm going to have a step-by-step version that'll go out later on today as soon as I hear back from the conference folk on one question that we had on it. But you guys, I went ahead and registered myself for hotel rooms. You guys should be able to go ahead and do it as well. And that way we can get those booked up and ready to go. You will probably get a bunch of reminders from me in the next couple of days just to make sure that we can get everybody wrapped up and signed up in the hotels. So we really hope you all come and join us for this fantastic opportunity. You'll be able to network with one another. You'll be able to network with EPA folk, with regional coordinators, as well as some additional organizations that might have really similar interests, like the NIEHS folk and different things like that. It's a really, really amazing opportunity. We hope to see a lot of you guys there. In addition, we are also having a EWGDAT booth at the conference too. And so what we thought was this would be a really awesome place for you guys. If you have some flyers or brochures or promotional materials, if you guys want to bring some, we can spread that all out at the booth. And that way, if there are any potential employers, partner groups, whatever, that are from your area that are walking through the different booth space, they can actually see the spectrum of, you know, EWGDAT programs that are available and maybe find a potential connection somewhere. So we're really excited about that opportunity too. We'll push more of this stuff out, more information out as we go along, but I did want to send you guys kind of tell you guys a verbal direction on how to register for your hotel room. I got a bunch of emails yesterday. I'm still in the process of going through them, so if you emailed me with a question, I will get back with you. We're just kind of getting some things worked out, but again, look for another email from me later today with some additional information. If you would like my email address, it is hkballou@eicc.edu. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu.
Great. You know, to kind of give those of you who are brand new to all of this, EPA, in conjunction with ICMA, holds a national conference that includes not only all our grantees, but all of the employers, anyone who's anyone in the brownfields, an environmental remediation movement, attends this conference. And it's ranged from early on, 20 years ago, it might have been a couple of hundred. Now it's been as high as 4,000 people will attend. And it's at the LA Convention Center. So it's a big deal. We're not sure what the total count will be this year, but it is a big deal. And it's a great time to meet employers because they have a large exhibit area, which we'll be part of, and you can contact all your local employers. Many mayors attend, congressmen attend. It's a great time to network. All of the EPA regional coordinators attend, the NIHS people attend. So it gives you a great time to network, whether you have a grant or not. And if you don't have a grant, and as I said, if you belong to the PLC, you are qualified and can attend our all-grantee meeting, which is attended by all of our grantees and those who are really serious about starting a program. And to do that, if you're not getting notices, particularly the PLC notes, which I'll send out on Friday, send your contact information to Heather at the address you just described. You know, our one-day meeting, you're going to want to, if you're arranging transportation, and it's coming up quick when you want to. You want to get there on the 9th because on the 10th, it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a full day for us. It's an all-grantee day, and we're going to start at 8 o'clock when we'll be registering, and we'll have a welcome from about 8:30 to 9. And we're going to be having working sessions from 9 to 12 where it'll be similar to our traditional. We usually have an all-grantee meeting in August. And that's a traditional time to have it. But this year was a special year, the way things, schedules with EPA fell out. So we're going to go from 9 to 12, just talking about EPA-oriented workforce issues. And we'll have the our project officers and their bosses, and we'll be talking about our program particularly. But what's neat about this all-grantee meeting, which is different from the other, we're invited and we'll be participating with the NIHS program, and they have a program that's very similar to the EPA program. It's a career worker training program, slightly different mission. They're focused more on health and safety than environmental remediation, but we're going to have an opportunity to sit down with them. So we're going to take a bus over to a community center, and we're going to have a working lunch, and then we're going to spend the afternoon from 12:30 to 3:30, we're going to be talking about common interests that we all have, whether it's what we've been talking about in the PLC, transportation, recruitment, placement, some of those issues, sustainability, those that are critical issues for both NIHS and drugs and with the EPA program. So we'll be doing a joint meeting similar to our all-grantee meeting. And that'll go till about 3:30, and then we're going to bus everyone back to the convention center. And it's going to be a full day because the regional coordinators, all the regions will have meetings, their meet and greets back at the convention center from at 4 o'clock. And it's just a time to schmooze and get to know some of the people in your EPA region, whether you're a prospective grantee, existing grantee, or someone who is looking to reapply. And then that night, there's what they call the EJ Caucus. It's something that they've had every year, and it's all about environmental justice, and everyone attends this meeting. So the 10th is going to be a solid full day. The 9th is a transportation day, so you want to travel on the 9th. And then that takes care of the all-grantee part of this. Then we shift over to the Brownfields National Meeting, where we've got 3,000 or 4,000 people with an educational program. And that'll go on Wednesday and Thursday, on Friday. The 11th through the 13th. Things start to wind down on the 13th, and it is in L.A., so I don't know if you'll want to stay over till Saturday. Things start to wind down about midday. It usually ends about noon on Friday, and some people leave on Friday, and some might stay over. And as Heather said, because of the way we're doing this, we're able to fund at least 2 days of hotels there. So no matter whether you come to ours or the whole program, you need to register for the whole program. But seriously consider it. It's probably the best conference of the year that you can attend. A question that a grantee wrote, and I think everyone is interested, what's the status of the EPA reviews of the proposals that were submitted earlier? And as we've talked about, they had to wait till after the new fiscal year, which you're now in, after October 1st. The announcement should be coming, can come any time between now and probably early November. We're in a silent period. They're not telling us anything, and they may not be sure themselves. Our project officer has to go through several levels of EPA review to determine the 20 people who will be funded for $200,000 for the next couple of years. So we're waiting to hear. As soon as we hear, we'll send out notices to everyone, and we'll let you know. My gut feeling is we're probably still a few weeks away. When we get towards the end of October, I think we're getting close to when that'll happen. And they'll notify the people who submitted the grant, who are the prime contacts. So you want to definitely keep in touch, and you may want to alert them that you'll be getting some sort of notice about this probably end of October, early November. So that'll be coming up. Well, today, as I said earlier, we're privileged to hear from a very interesting grantee. And you could write a book or certainly make a movie out of the history of Recycle Force. It's very interesting. And I'm going to put some notes in the notes, direct you to some really interesting articles about the history of what Greg did in terms of starting Recycle Force in 2003. An amazing person when you read what he's done for the city of Indianapolis and for the community, not only in helping them with their solid waste and hazardous waste disposal issue, but what he's done for transitional workers coming out of prison or transitioning into society and what they've done. And they, as I said before, they could fit into several categories. They've been tremendously successful because of their mission in attracting grants. They've gotten grants from Department of Labor. They've gotten foundations, key bank foundations, the family fund donations, private family fund foundations, many grants that have helped them support their program. But in addition to that, and you could have a whole session just talking about grantsmanship and working with the community and selling your mission to the people who are able to help support your organization because you're doing such a good job and you're working with the community. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We can also talk about their remediation and what their remediation program is about. But I think what's really interesting about this program is their entrepreneurial spirit and what they've done and how they're doing that and what they've been able to accomplish. And it hasn't always been easy. I think they started in 2003, but their first experience with EPA was back in, I believe, 2017. And they, for those of you who have submitted a grant and not gotten it right away, you could look up to RecycleForce. They didn't get their first grant, but they didn't quit. And they came back and they came to our all grantee meetings and they mentored with some of our more experienced grantees. And they went out and they beefed up their partnerships and they resubmitted and were very successful in 2018 of getting their first grant. And they're new, but they've done so much during that time. I think we're really privileged to have them as one of our grantees. So, Ken, I'm not sure if Rhonda was able to get on. But,
yeah, I don't think she's going to get on, but we can go ahead and move forward with it. So, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us to present again. And as I understand it, that most of those that are on the call are new grantees. So I want to start by giving you a little background. I mean, you have said something that is profound. Yeah, we've been in business as a nonprofit organization, a social enterprise, since 2003. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization in Indianapolis. We have been operating as a social enterprise, which is a business with a social mission. Which is key. In other words, we apply commercial strategies to maximize social impact, and we predominantly serve adults leaving the state prison system that have been determined to be moderate to high risk to return to prison. So if they are high risk to return, those are the ones that we kind of target, the hard-to-serve population. With a very few exceptions, these returning citizens are coming home to high poverty, high crime areas of our city. Over the last 15 years, we have served more than 1,600 individuals. RecycleForce does not have to recruit individuals for its program, as all referrals, because of the high citizens, those that are incarcerated, returning to citizenship. So we don't have a referral problem at all, okay? These referral sources come from the parole, probation, community corrections, work release. We email these individuals, these agencies, and they provide a referral to us. So we don't have a problem there. We typically do intake twice per month. As you said, I mean, this is our first EPA grant, but this is, we receive grant money as well, but what makes us unique is that we leverage the grant money by our electronic recycling company. And everyone doesn't have to have electronic recycling to leverage their funds. But if we just did it off of grant money, we wouldn't be serving as many as we serve in this at-risk population. So we depend upon our recycle sales to leverage and support some of the salaries that we pay our people. The overreaching goal of RecycleForce is to increase employment opportunities and the wage earning potential for low-income, previously incarcerated workers. So we have a model we call a ABC model. So what makes it attractive is that any individual, the three things they need coming out of prison or jail is they need a job. They need a job, and pretty much oversight says if you don't have one in 30 days, you're going back to jail. So we provide a job. We may start $9, $10 an hour coming in, and then our goal is to prepare them for transition with a better job. So certainly our goal is to provide industry-recognized certification training, and most of your EPA grantees know about the HAZWOPER, the 40-hour HAZWOPER. That's one of our industry-recognized certifications. So it's a job training and a job placement. So in order for us to place individuals in those B jobs, we have to have the industry-recognized certifications. HAZWOPER, forklift, we call it the industrial power truck training. which is different classes of Fark trucks from general industry to construction. 1910-1926 training. We have EPA 608, those that want to get into the HVAC industry. We have RECRA, 4 hours, 20 hours, 40 hours, you know, wherever the individual want to, you know, which direction he want to go in, whether it, or he or she, I don't want to just say he, because we have a lot of females as well. So we have the industry recognized certification in CLA and CLT, which is provided by MSSC. So our task is to do a job, better job, or a career job. So we have entrepreneurship opportunities as well for individuals who want to start their own business. So, yeah, I can open up for any questions, but there's, the social enterprise is one way to leverage our revenue so that we can serve more people.
Ken, how do you you get referrals, and my thinking is you probably get a lot more referrals than you're able to take. Or how many can you take? Do you do cohorts, or is it an ongoing process that you use in bringing people into your organization?
Yeah, that's very interesting. We do. I mean, it took us a while to set up this model that we have. We do have cohorts. They like the HazWhopper. We can start individuals in. We take them in, you know, twice a month. We come in on a Tuesday. They do orientation. We find which direction they want to go in. Like the HazWhopper 40. Everybody work at a different pace. So my goal is to say, like, I want to get 25 people through the HazWhopper in a month. So an individual can come. They'll be, you know, in the first part of the month, or they come in the middle of the month, and we can try, and that'll be cohort one and cohort two. So that's for that training module. But individuals, you know, they grasp it at different paces. So we set our training up once a week. I may have forklift class on a Tuesday and may have HazWhopper or RECRA or EPA on a Thursday. We also do the 10-hour construction training for OSHA 1926. So, and these are online courses. So individual can also get set up and they can go at their own pace. And that can be done in a couple of days.
Do you have like a regular hours when you bring them in? Do you sit them down and say, you know, we've got our work day is from 8 to 5, and how do you structure that when you're bringing someone into your organization?
Like I say, we have 8 to 4:30 every day, Monday through Friday, and we also have Saturdays, weekends. Because part of our partnership is with the city and county waste facilities, solid waste facilities, and if our facility is open, they can come in and do training on those days too.
Mm-hmm.
But normally it's 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We have individuals that work on our floor, our production floor. Paul Salmons has the production department. And what we do, we'll meet on Fridays, and I tell you this, and I don't know if Linda's on the call or not, but Linda attended our director's meeting and just wanted to use that as best practices for the EPA because we have so many different moving parts. But what we do on a Friday is we determine how many people is going to be in our training the following week so we won't be helter-skelter. So we may have 10 people that's going to be in our training Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 4:30. That means they'll work a half day and they get trained a half day. And anyone that may have missed something, they need to catch up. But those are dedicated times that we can allow them to get it be in training. So
that's
although
great.
I may have Tuesdays and Thursdays for specified industry recognized training, and then the 1 to 4 each day is where they can then actually work on the modules.
And then when they're not when they're not training, they're back on the floor working.
Absolutely, because that's a key component of our operation as well.
Now, are you able to, you can't pay them stipends with the grant, but you can pay them some sort of a wage with right. Recycle Force, the business?
Absolutely. That's unsubsidized a payment. They actually have a job now. It's unsubsidized. Mm-hmm. It's subsidized employment. I'm sorry. It's subsidized
right.
employment. So, yes, if not a stipend. Okay.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, sir. So is it like, I'm fairly new. My name is Ronique. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware. I run a EPA program down here. And is it like an OJT, like an on-the-job training?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
When they come in also, they get the orientation one day. The next day they have to have basic OSHA training in order to be on our floor.
Okay.
Okay. And, anywhere from slip, trips, and fall, personal protective, warehouse safety. And that's only so that they can be on our floor. And then that's when we begin to evaluate their safety and their training, and say like a forklift training program, they can do the classroom, they can do the hands-on, and then they can begin to accumulate log hours. And they get those log hours while they're working. So that's on-the-job training.
Okay.
And so when other agencies come and see what we're doing, that generally provide, just forklift certification training, they see that we also provide the hands-on and the experience. We have them to load, unload trucks, double stack, drive backwards, the whole nine yards. Even when it pertains to the OSHA safety, where we got a safety director that walks around with a red hat on, okay, and want to make sure everybody's got the PPE on and that they're working safe. Because we have over, 10 different departments?
Yeah, we have 112 on payroll. Right?
We have 112 on payroll, and so we have so many people in our warehouse. And we try, and the main objective is to keep people working safe and being safe. So, yes, it's on-the-job training, just to answer your question.
Yep. Thank you very much, sir.
So those 112, will they all receive training at some point? Or it sounds like to get on the floor, they'll have to have some sort of training.
Absolutely.
But
each one of them, before they get on the floor, they have to have the OSHA training, the basic OSHA training. So that's just get them familiar with what it takes to be safe. Don't get that mixed up with the 10-hour and the 30-hour OSHA certification training that comes. It could come through the Department of Labor, or it could come through one of the other third-party training sites where they could get the 10 hours or 30. I actually can do the 10-hour or 30-hour, but I don't have time.
Right. Now, say I'm working on there. I'm on the floor, and could I come to you or my supervisor and say I want to take that 10-hour because I want to get into deconstruction or something? How does that work? Do they come to you, or do you kind of pick them and say, hey, you're pretty sharp. Would you like to get into deconstruction or something like that? How does that work?
Man, that is such a key right there. We have a morning circle in the morning times, and we have presenters that come in, all employers that come in, and they will say what they have opening. Today, for example, I have one of the head of the local unions here, Local 120, and he's looking for people with 10 hours of construction OSHA. And so once he present, they'll come in my office and say, I want to do that. We don't try to steer people in which way to go, but if they want to get the 10-hour construction ocean. I got two or three people that started, one last week and two this week, with the local union, and they're getting $27 an hour, and they're paying union dues, and they start as a pre-apprentice based on their previous experience. I was shocked to hear him say that some of them can start as a journeyman.
Wow.
That really blew me away. So we have presenters. We have a partnership with a lot of employers, and any direction that an individual want to go in for that B job or that C job, we have that opportunity here as well.
That is fantastic. So what's really neat is you don't really have to go out and start recruiting employers and saying, we got some people. that you may be interested. These employers, you got a reputation now where whether it's a scrapyard or it's a maybe a deconstruction firm or a construction firm, they know about you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come to you and say, I need five guys, and they got to have these certs. And can you help me? Is that how
that's how it works?
Work with these?
Hey, FedEx, we have a very good relationship with public and private employers. We also have a relationship with the Department of Public Works, Solid Waste Division, where they always need extra workers in the morning from 6 to 7. So we'll have a crew of guys that come in at 6 to 7 that's been trained in solid waste and how to be safe on a trash truck. So if they need workers, we got maybe 5 to 10 people standing by waiting to go to DPW. If they get chosen to go to DPW, we clock them in on our clock until they get chosen to go to DPW. Then they clock out and go to DPW, Department of Public Works, from say like 7:30 or 8 o'clock until 2:30, and then they'll get a check directly from that agency, and then they can come the next day here, and if they don't get chosen, then they stay on our clock and continue their training and continue their transitional opportunity.
So you're kind of like a manpower firm, but you're hoping that they're going to get stolen away from you at some point.
Oh, we love that. Come take them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is to get them loose. It gets so good here that some of them don't want to go.
You know, we had this problem when they had, well, back in the hurricane days, and you're not going to have a hurricane up in Indianapolis, but, you know, you have some sort of disaster, and all of a sudden we need everyone with a 1910-120. Anyone who's got a Hazwoper, we'll send them down here. You know, we'll hire them. We'll put them up because we need them so badly. You know, it's just, but even without hurricanes, I'm sure you have your disasters and your spills and everything else that people would have. That is fantastic. Now, let me broach this up. What do you do about drugs? Is it something that your employers are just going to have to, hey, we understand who we're dealing with, or do you have a policy, or is it do not ask, do not tell, or what do you suggest?
And I know everyone has this problem, too, and if they say they don't, then I need to talk to you personally, okay? But we have, orientation is very clear. That's why it lasts probably all day long doing orientation. Yeah, we can have a zero tolerance policy all we want to. No drugs and all that thing. But we have also a relationship with Midtown Mental Health, drug treatment. We have a therapist that works with us full-time. And anyone that shows behavior that's appeared to be unsafe on our floor, we'll pull them off the floor, and we'll refer them to treatment. And we also have what I call a Cadillac a perspective agency that works with our human resource department that will get them in a more extensive rehab and rehabilitation until they are ready to come back to work. Or to be conditioned to stay work is that they continue treatment with mental health or drug intervention agencies.
So you see a guy that you suspect he's on drugs or he's hooked, and you kind of take him on the side and say, you know, we can help you out, or we can refer you to someone.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had to kick someone out?
Ooh. I've been here close to 11 years. I could probably count on my hands how many people that that we really had to kick out. This is very unique. I mean, that's the very last resort. Is kicking someone out. Because if they can't make it here, where are they going to make it at, Mike?
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to ask that question. we are trying to dabble in the reentry population as well, too. We always had individuals that have been incarcerated, and they find out about the program through word of mouth. But we're developing a solid partnership with reentry. The individuals, especially what you're dealing with, sir, from what you're telling us, they pretty much got hit with that reality stick, and I think they just probably value the opportunity because this is the high-risk population, you know, that's going to return to jail. I guess the majority of those individuals kind of, you know, have a sense of awokeness. Am I right? Or
yes.
Yes.
Let me say this, too, as well, because the uniqueness of our program is the fact that we have a model of peer mentors, individuals that have walked the walk and talked the talk. I like to call it our FUBU, for us, by us. Individuals that have went through the criminal justice system, navigated through it, and learned how to recover, engage back in society, work with their family, get their credit together, get their driver's license together. So we have a peer monitoring, a mentoring group that is internal, individuals that have done that and been there. And then we have an external mentoring group called Trusted Mentors, where there's more professional mentoring that happened. And then we got, you know, the community, Brookside Community Church, Northview Church, that is willing to walk alongside individuals and walk life out with them without these different partnerships. And you're familiar with the wraparound services. Without these type of wraparound services, I mean we're raising the bar too high, expecting someone to go too fast,
right.
and they're going to fall right on their face. Individuals that even get off of paper, eventually get off paper. We have people with ankle bracelets on that have 6 months, a year, okay, and their own main priority is to get off paper. And once they do get off paper, we're still here for them. They may fall down. They may go back. They may get what is called a TRV, a technical rule violation. We haven't threw out the baby with the bathwater. We give them another opportunity to come back, and we got individuals that will walk out with them because, again, if they can't make it here, where are they going to make it? So we're preparing them for the B job. We're preparing them for, I mean, everybody doesn't make it now. Don't get me wrong. There are people that really have committed another crime, and they went back to prison. So everyone doesn't make it. But our recidivism rate is at 17%. Last I checked, and the national recidivism rate was at 51%. So we're doing something right, and we've had mayors all over the country, governors come here to see what we're doing. I mean, I'm not tooting our horn, but I think we do a pretty good job of what we do as a social enterprise. But the peer mentoring is key. It's important to have people that understand their language and that have made it through our system. And we have what is called white hats, supervisors, that actually runs our floor that looks like them, been where they've been. So that's important. And each morning, which is key, we have a morning circle where everybody's expected to be at work because we still want to show a model of the real workplace, because if not, they're going to leave here and thinking they can take their old bad behavior to another place and ruin our relationship and then not make it and end up back here. So we emphasize five critical components of being a good employee. That is attendance, production, responsibility, leadership, and initiative. And we're high on that. And I got Paul right here. I tell you what, the individual that we had to bring in, and we create a plan. We call it corrective action. It ain't punitive. It's called, this is what we notice some of your behavior, and this is what we recommend you to do in order to correct it. If you got a problem with child care, you got a problem coming to work, let us know so that we can assist you. Because, again, if not, they don't make it here, where are they going to make it? So, you know, we do enforce the fact that you got to be here. Not enforce. I don't like to use that word force. But we do emphasize that you got to be here. Attendance is important because you can't go anywhere else and not call your employer and say you're not going to be there or you're going to be late. You got to do that. Okay, you got to produce when you're here. Okay, we got all these different departments, so you got to produce. You got to meet quota. Okay, you got to take responsibility. Responsibility comes in so many different forms. And the reason why they were in the trouble that they're in because they didn't accept responsibility. I mean, some people got a bad shake, but okay, let's go. Let's get up. Let's go. So responsibility is crucial. We have what I call a sidebar to that, admit it, quit it, and forget it. Okay? We've seen you doing this. Okay? We notice you had a problem. What you know, now if you start making a lot of excuses, we got a big problem, okay?
Yeah.
Then we got to work on them a little more, or her. So we got to admit it. Now let's see what you can do so that you can quit it. Okay? And then if you can do those things, we'll forget it. Okay? Admit it, quit it, and forget it. So these models, I mean, and we have to have a staff of people that understand this same format so that we all are saying the same thing across the board. We have a couple of individuals now that works with that only works with the oversight people. Okay? And so we get referrals through her. She communicates directly with them. We're not the police. We're not trying to get people in trouble, but we're trying to get them, to be a major contributor back to society, and that's what I think the EPA is about, and I think this is what some of the grant money that we receive is about. So we want to be, we want to be responsible to the reason why we're receiving grant money. We want to be responsible to society for, it's almost like providing some type of intervention to eliminate crime in the community. So we want to be responsible to the community as well as to our philanthropic people.
Really impressive. Really, you're doing an awesome job. And does any other have questions? Can is it okay if someone has a question and they could contact you by email? If I put your contact information in there?
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I'll give them my information, Rhonda's, and Paul, and Peggy. It's fine, yeah.
Any questions that anyone has? I know everyone's got a day. They've got stuff to do, and all I could say is that it's really impressive, and you're addressing the spirit of the Environmental Workforce Program and EPA, and wish you good luck on what you're doing. I'm sure all of these programs are hard work. You've kind of chosen to take the hardest of the hardest, and it's pretty admirable.
Yeah, thank you.
Very impressive.
Thank you for your time, Ms. Alexander. Your program does sound excellent. I agree with Bruce.
Okay.
I definitely will be giving you a call. I'm on your website as we speak. Once again, my name is Ronique Haney. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay.
And I'll definitely be emailing you or calling you, sir.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Mike, thanks for mentioning the fact that we didn't get our funding at first, but we hung in there. We even came to the conference, and we weren't even one of the grantees. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, that's what we're hoping people do next December here.
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, you guys hung in there and you listened to what people had to say. And to be honest, I think you built a better program for that. You really did. And I think your program, if you go to that website, and I'm going to put the websites in there. It's very impressive. And the appreciation of your community is exhibited in some. If you go to the news feeds and what people have talked about your program, very impressive. It really is. And someone's got to do this work. I mean, you're doing it. And all grantees take different levels of approach. Some work on different levels. Some work with women who can't get jobs, or some work with people that have other problems, or it's they're in a rough community. You're kind of taking the toughest job, so we really do appreciate that, and certainly hope to see you at the conference and the all grantee meeting.
Oh yes, we'll be there, and I hope to see everyone there that's on the call. It's been a pleasure.
Yes,
great.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks, and we'll let everyone get back to their day. And I appreciate y'all tuning in, and we'll be talking about another issue on the 23rd. So, see y'all then. Meanwhile, if you have any questions, just send them to Heather. She gave you her address. Heather, are you on the call? Can you give them your email again?
Absolutely. It's hkballou@eicc.edu.
Any problems either with signing up for the conference or any questions or get on the PLC list, just send her your email to her. Thanks again, everybody.
All right.
Thank you. Be talking to you all soon.
Thank you.